This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Sorry, Tim. I'm just looking at all the controls, making sure before I hit play, everything was correct.
Hit record?
Oh, shit. yeah, record. Okay. I record and play at the same time. You have to do on this one.
Oh, wow.
Remember that? You'd have to do that with some recorders.
Cassette players
if you wanted to record some. Just hitting record wasn't enough.
No.
I like the ones where the record button clicked down and then you could like wait and press the play button. Some of them when you had to press them both together, they didn't always stay.
I had some where like if you pressed the record button,
there's like
a black button, but there's like a little red circle in it that wasn't connected for some reason. But then the play button would like go down
press
automatically
itself?
With
a ghost?
No, it was more like a mechanism within the tape recorder.
You took it apart to make sure?
I didn't verify it myself, but my friend did.
Well, it sounds like a good...
I had my friend over who was handier than I was.
Your friend could be a liar. It could have been a ghost.
My house...
You ever heard of the ghost in the machine?
All right.
That's what they're talking
about.
How
are you doing this week, Tom?
I'm doing good, Tim. I'm flying high off of big claw machine wins.
Oh, yeah. You're bragging about this before.
Well, Tim, once you hear what I won, I think you'll be pretty surprised,
so
pretty impressed.
You were just on a claw machine...
claw machine-centered vacation.
Yeah.
No, I went to the Jersey Shore with my fiance's
Spent
family.
Spent the weekend at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 at the Jersey Shore.
What song is that?
Well, we're living here in Allentown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Tom,
there are
I have
a lot
terrible
of...
news.
What?
They're closing all the factories.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
It's
getting very hard to stay.
A what? Oh, just to stay?
To stay.
Hey. A lot of Pennsylvania people vacation at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, Billy Joel? Looks like he, sounds like he did his research.
Yeah. Hey. Point to Billy Joel. Billy Joel won.
He's got enough
Tim
points.
Tim and Tom, zero.
Billy Joel's got millions of points, and we've still got zero.
Yeah.
We had one and we lost it. We were disqualified. But yeah, there was an arcade, you know, like a boardwalk arcade with tons of claw machines.
How much did you spend, do you think, cumulatively?
I know how much
machines?
I spent. I spent $25.
On claw machines?
Yeah, on claw machines.
Okay.
On the claw machines and like other arcade games and stuff.
How much time cumulatively did that $25 represent in entertainment?
Probably like 2 hours or so.
Well, that's great.
Well, they had 20.
I always think of things in terms of movie tickets.
Yeah, that's a good. I do the same. Like sometimes I'm like, should I like buy this like $10 game? And I'm like, if I play it for an hour or two and I enjoy it, that's cheaper than a movie.
Yeah. Especially these days, Tom.
Yeah.
Especially in this 4DX powered world we live in.
Oh, I wish. I wish there were more 4DX theaters. Sim, unfortunately, it's proprietary technology to the Regal Corporation. What would you expect from a company with a kingly name like Regal? But quite the throne. A throne that moves itself?
Well, who's going to know best?
Yeah. The king.
All hail the king.
So, yeah, $25, they had 20-cent skee ball.
All right.
So that killed a lot
20
of time.
20-cent?
20 cents.
Come on, just make it a quarter.
No, because then you get five plays instead of four for a dollar.
That's, oh, you got, it only takes dollars? I thought people were putting dimes in.
No, no, it takes like a card. You swipe
two dimes,
a card.
Please.
No, you swipe a card.
What is this, 1923?
No, like I said, you swipe a card.
Paying things for things. Tom, you're paying for things in dimes? Very, like the 1920s?
Very modern, Tim. You buy the card, you put money on the card,
it's
you swipe the card.
100 years ago?
Let me run down what I won in the claw machine. And all right, I'll give you the caveat in a minute. One thing, a mini basketball.
Ooh, for a sporto, such mm-hmm. as yourself, that's huge.
It's actually like a pretty decent, quality basketball.
Can I have it?
No, you can't have it. It's mine.
My
I want
son
it.
Really likes, basketballs and I don't know where to get one. They closed the Modells. Modells doesn't exist anymore.
Tim, I potentially have another ball for him.
Okay.
Because I want another ball. I want a Flash ball.
Whoa, like a, what's that?
You know, the comic character, the Flash.
That's the one that you're trying to get rid of?
Yes.
Like it's of the dastardly Ezra Miller?
Exactly, Tim. Yes. I can't afford to be connected with that guy.
Does it
right
have
now.
Their face on it?
No, it just has the Flash logo. Oh,
okay. Well, that seems pretty cool.
It was in a case full of like DC logo balls, basically. Right. And the Flash one was the easiest one to grab. I want it. And then I said, I think I could probably get that Wonder Woman ball. And then I went, what? I don't even want this ball. What am I? Why should I try and
but
get more balls?
But all the other stuff that you're going after in claw machines, you desperately want.
Well, wait, Tim. Wait till you hear what the other things are. Oh, then I got a plush squid that turns inside out. It's pretty neat. I got a little tiny squeezy alien.
Do the eyes pop out?
Nah, it doesn't really do anything. It just kind of
like
squeezes.
This is all stuff that is up your alley. Maybe not the squid. But like the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
You got aliens. This is Tom Reynolds to a T.
Yeah. Well, so then.
Boardwalk arcade at the Jersey Shore really has your number.
Listen to this then. They got a machine that has a bunch of boxes in it.
Mm.
Just plastic treasure chests.
The only thing that would be more on brand is if there was a claw machine where you could get a 3D printed gun.
Tim, you don't need to win that. That's why you buy the machines. Yeah. You can print it yourself.
Sorry. So there were boxes.
Little plastic treasure chests that are locked.
Mm.
And the way this worked was if you got one, which I did, you had to bring it to the counter, and then you would have to make a deal or no deal style choice.
Oh, wow.
Open it.
Were there beautiful women there?
There were not beautiful women there, Tim. I think there were like a surprising amount of older women enjoying the arcade while I was there.
Was there a bald man with OCD urging you to take the deal?
No. I'll get to why I was so mad. The sign on the machine says like, don't open this when you get it. I tried to open it. I was like trying to figure out a way to open. It's like locked with an actual little padlock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like the padlock you put on a suitcase, maybe.
Right. So it's you like, could, I could force could, yeah, that. If but, you needed to.
Yeah. If it if, was an emergency.
If there was an EpiPen in there and somebody went into anaphylactic shock.
Tim, that's one of my fantasies that so I don't want to see anybody go into anaphylactic shock, but that they would say, is anybody a doctor? And said, no, but if there's a EpiPen inside a claw machine,
oh yeah,
I can help. And they say, there is. It's the only way to save this man's life. And I do it.
Gonna and, need a lot of dimes.
Tim, again, it's a card. You just swipe the card. But then I could force this thing open. But anyway, I didn't force it open. So here's what the game was. The game within a game, if you will.
Man, this is the gift that keeps on giving, huh? No wonder you had 2 hours worth of fun here.
Inside this box was anywhere between 10 and 1,000 tickets.
Oh, I thought you were going to say dollars.
No. 10 and 1,000 tickets.
Okay.
Or you could not open it and accept 300 tickets.
Ah.
which is what I went with, because my here's why, Tim.
Were the tickets that important to you?
Yeah.
Like getting some chintzy piece of
shit. Wait till you hear what I got,
okay,
Tim.
Right.
I saved
already
the best
won
for last.
So much, Tom.
No, wait till you hear what I got. I saved the best for last.
So you took the 300 tickets. You didn't even get to see what was in the box?
No.
You leave the boardwalk? No.
Well, let me explain.
I'm so upset.
First off, the reason why I didn't open it is, are you really going to trust an arcade with a game of chance?
That's true. Oh, yeah. Like they are.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah,
well, one of them in there has 1,000 tickets, but unfortunately, you got the 10 ticket one.
Right, right.
So I was like, 100% all these things have 10 tickets in them.
Tom, one time I was at the bowling alley.
Uh huh.
And there was a claw machine there.
Yeah.
And Ryan McCaslin, direct hit.
Mm hmm.
Got a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
Started pulling it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't come up. It wouldn't come up. Finally came loose.
Mm-hmm.
It was duct taped to the stuff
scoundrels
beneath it. And like Ryan McCaslin, to his credit, stuck with it.
Yeah.
And didn't give up and loosened it.
Uh-huh.
But a lesser man, a lesser 11-year-old boy at the bowling alley would have walked away and just been like, that's ungettable. Yeah.
He called the police afterwards?
Of course. They raided the place within minutes.
We
swatted that place. We swatted a lot of things.
They said, we're right in the middle of a triple homicide, but we're going to drop everything and come right over there.
God damn, it's a great thing swatting wasn't a thing when I was 13 and all of our idiot friends were 13.
Yeah, absolutely. Me and you wouldn't have done it.
No, we would have been in the room like egging them on though. And to just be like, I want to see what happens.
Right.
But like, yeah, there are some people that would have made those calls.
Absolutely.
Happily.
I mean, they could still do it now, Tim.
They could.
Yeah, they'd probably be better at covering their tracks than when they were 13.
I don't know. A lot of those people are pretty dumb.
But anyway, so I took the 300. They don't. I was like, the guy put it under the counter. I was like, you don't open it up so I can see if I made a good decision or not? No, it wasn't even that. I took the 300 and I went like, all right, now it's time for the moment of truth. Let's see if I made a good decision or not. And he goes, oh, no, we don't open them.
What the hell? And,
well, that convinced me, like, I made the right decision.
Yeah.
If they're not opening it, you scoundrel.
Nobody will ever, like, a guy that's hanging around for an hour and seeing people bringing those boxes up, we're like, every single one had 10 tickets.
Yeah, very interesting. Huh. Yeah, he was probably afraid of me launching an investigation.
Yeah. Oh, he knows a sharp tack when he sees one.
He saw how much shit I was walking around with from the claw machines. It's probably like, I'm not going to get one over on this genius.
So you got the two balls.
Uh-huh.
You got an octopus plush.
Yeah.
You got an alien.
A little alien.
You got... much like those aliens that are on display at the Mexican the Congress right now.
Uh-huh.
You got the 300 tickets, which I've changed my stance on. I'm supportive of your decision.
So glad that you
I'm
finally
you,
came
Tom.
Around.
Yeah.
Honorable mention, there was a claw machine. You know the claw machines with the like scooper claws?
The candy ones?
Yeah, the candy
ones.
Where
it's just like, you want some Tootsie Rolls? Yeah. And some of those fruit Tootsie Rolls too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take some of those.
So they had those. I didn't bother with the candy ones, but they had one with snaps, you know, little snaps you throw.
Oh,
like pop, pop, pop. Yeah. So I was like, I could go for that. So first try, I grab one, but I grab it too well, Tim. It doesn't scoop it up, but it gets both sides, goes up, tries to grab it harder, and goes for like a minute straight. And then,
all the snaps don't start snapping.
No,
at this point?
It wasn't strong enough. And then the display changes to say E1, and the claw drops into the machine, and the machine was just broken.
Huh.
So I broke one machine. And I was like, should I go over and be like, man? Exactly. What am I going to do? You owe me $1's worth of snaps, please, sir. But it's like,
I'm a 42-year-old man. Can you please
open the machine? Give me my snaps. But then I was like, ah, should I at least like tell him it's broken? And I was like, nah, he'll blame me. Yeah. I'm just going to keep my big mouth shut.
Yeah, I don't know that the blame means anything.
He chased me out of there, Timmy. Already saw us robbing him blind. And now I'm breaking the equipment because I'm too good at it. So then, so here's what I got with my 300 tickets, Tim. Here's the grand finale of
the
prizes.
The coup de grace.
The first one, a very nicely made standard whoopee cushion.
Oh, regular size?
Regular size.
Standard size. Yeah. I'm surprised I haven't fallen into that trap.
I know. You know what, Tim? As I said it, I realized, why'd I tell this guy I just got a whoopee cushion? He's going to be on his guard all night.
Oh, yeah. I'm on high alert now.
It's going to be so hard to get him. And the second thing, Tim, the biggest prize I won, a pair of spy glasses that let me see what's going on behind me.
Tom, can I see them?
Tim, minor programming note. I completely skipped over two of the other big wins that I got.
Yeah, you trotted them out for me, and I'm impressed. Yeah.
Well, and one's like a little shitty slinky that doesn't really even do anything. I think it was like, yeah, five to, it was like I had a, yeah, give me that. But the other
one. I didn't even think about it. Just but, happened.
But the other one, a set of chattering teeth, wind up chattering teeth, which is also a great classic gag. So I feel like if I walked out of there with nothing but spyglasses, a whoopee cushion, and chattering teeth, I'd be happy. You know, that's an afternoon's worth of laughs for everybody.
Tom, you did the Jersey Shore right.
Yeah, thank you.
Best vacation, again. That sounds like just hearing about it was better than experiencing any vacation that I've ever been on.
Well,
the last 15 minutes of my life was more.
It was the best vacation you ever had. Just listening.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, I take that as quite a compliment, Tim. But this week, that's not what we're here to talk about.
No. We're here to move books.
Yeah. Which coincidentally, I have a new one of.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Coming out, or it's out by the time you're hearing this.
The street date is...
has been broken.
Is it
that what you mean?
No. It's September 15th?
Yes.
Oh, okay. A matter of hours from when we're recording this.
From current recording time.
Yeah, but right now it's out there.
I can't
go
wait
get
to
it.
Read it.
The latest book in the Metal series.
It's not the Metal Meta series, Tim. The latest and final book.
The final chapter.
Yeah.
It's just one chapter. And the
No, it's not just one. It's an entire book.
Very confused.
You've done more to hurt my career than if you actually were trying.
That's the frustrating part. I have nothing but good intentions.
I know. You're trying your best, but unfortunately everything just blows up in your face.
Story of my goddamn life over here.
I figured that would be, I was like, oh, maybe I should say to Tim, hey, let's do the episode about my books. But I didn't want to do that.
Why not?
I don't remember everything that happens in my books.
That's good. A guy that wrote the conclusion of
no,
the story.
No, I mean, I went through and checked things, of course. I like refresh my memory, but I'm very bad at like recalling, especially I feel like when I'm writing, like sometimes I'll have two different ideas and or I'll like write beginning with one idea and then halfway through I'll be like, oh, I should change that. It should be this. And then when I'm done, I'm like, wait, which one did I go with? I can't remember. So that kind of stuff.
Right.
Plus, you haven't read all the books. So how would you know all the deep dive questions?
I've read, I don't think I've read all of them, but I've read most of them.
Okay.
A baker's dozen.
Okay, then start peppering me with questions, Tim.
So this character, Jim.
Uh-huh.
Thinly veiled reference to a man named Tim.
People have, of course, pointed that out, And I swear to God, it didn't even occur to me. I mean, maybe it did subconsciously.
Yeah.
Maybe you were incepted. Which is maybe I was incepted by you and like it didn't completely take.
Yeah.
And I decided the character's name should be Jim instead
maybe
of Tim.
Maybe I made the decision, like, it'd be too obvious. He'd realize this
right.
and veto this idea.
Right.
Because the last thing he wants to do is give me any credit or notoriety.
Yeah. You were under a lot of pressure. The dreams were collapsing in on themselves.
Yeah, there was a snowmobile chase that I wasn't exactly sure was happening.
You had to get out of there. A slow motion van was falling into a river.
Yeah.
A lot going on. A lot to keep track of.
Tom, the name of the book?
Infinity's End.
I knew that because I saw the marketing. I saw your online marketing for it, which is very impressive, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you.
Infinity's End.
Yeah.
The end of the meta series.
The end of
or
the
at least this tale that you're telling.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? But for right now, this is
the
end.
We all know
of
what happens. Authors are like, and that's the end of it. Now on to something new. Oh, you don't like that as much?
Yeah. I'm completely reserving the right to do that. So.
Did you know that there are fantastic beasts in the world as well?
Maybe I didn't tell you the story about what happened 100 years ago. My first book, Tim, I went back and re-edited it.
Oh.
Yeah. And
edited out all the slurs?
Not all the slurs.
All the slurs. That would be a too solid order.
Come on.
The book wouldn't make sense anymore.
You know, there is a little something called artistic license, Tim. No, but actually there were like, I think one or two, swear words in there that I forgot, were in the first book.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, a series where it was originally more adult and then they realized, hey, let's
gear this more towards kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that happened with like the Terminator movies. The first two are R and then I think all the rest are PG-13.
Oh, yeah.
But not like, it's not like changing it to kids.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Or they're just being like the vibe of the tone of the first one is like, a little bit more adult. And it's like, this could actually be a little bit more mass appeal. Let's soften some of the edges. Anyway, let me be the first to congratulate you.
Thank you.
On the successful launch of Infinity's End.
Thank you. Hopefully. It's successful. But.
The clock might strike midnight while we're recording here, and you'll be like, I'm ruined.
I'll never recover from this.
The numbers are in.
But like I was saying, I re-edited that first book. I might do it I might do it again. But that's up there, too. And guess what? It's on sale right now. 99 cents. If you're hearing this before Thursday, the digital copy. Sometimes I say things like that. And people are like, it says it's like $15. I'm like, the digital copy. You think I can send things out physically for 99 cents?
Yeah.
See, I'm not sending out anything, to be honest with you. It's Amazon doing it.
Now, when somebody orders a book from Amazon, it's not the author sending that out personally from their house?
It's not. It's they have warehouses and machines that can make books.
Wow.
Yeah. And they use those machines to make the books, and then they send the books.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The machines send the books, too? They wish.
I'm sure they're working on it.
Yeah. YA.
We're talking about young adult books, which I feel like aren't as popular as they used to be, right?
Really?
I mean, I'm not speaking necessarily from personal experience. I'm just saying I'm thinking about the days of Twilight, the days of the Hunger Games. Like, and then there were all like the Hunger Games knockoffs, you know, like The Maze Runner and Divergent. Not necessarily knockoffs, but very similar.
Yeah.
Genre.
I feel.
Dystopian YA.
Dystopian YA series.
Yeah.
I think what happened
was
Divergent. That's one of them, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was one. That was the Shailene Woodley one that I think they made like three movies and there was supposed to be a fourth and they just didn't make it.
Yeah.
Or maybe two and they didn't make the third.
I feel like that was when we saw like the. it pains me to say this, the crass side of Hollywood, where it's just like, oh, this stuff doesn't work anymore. Cut off this whole pipeline. And like, and then all the publishers were like, all right, Hollywood's not optioning this. Close down this pipeline. It's done. We're not publishing any more of this.
Yeah. I mean, there's... I remember with those Divergent movies, it was weird because I believe they made three of them.
I couldn't make heads or tails of what any of that was. It all looks so scary.
But it was one of these things where I believe the first two movies actually made very good money, and then the third one didn't, and they just immediately cut bait. They're like, oh, forget it. And I think they floated like, oh, we might make the fourth movie as like a TV series. And it sounds like all the actors' agents reminded them, like, you did not sign up. You did not pay and sign my client up for a TV series. Like, we'd have to renegotiate that. And guess what? Like, this person's a bigger star now. So it's going to cost. So they were like, ah, forget it. Well, this won't do anything.
Yeah. Rather do nothing.
And I mean, it's not one, you know, it's not like release the Snyder cut. You don't see.
No, people are clamoring for Divergent everywhere I go. I was in a hipster coffee shop earlier today.
Yeah.
I heard two people talking about how much they want to see a Divergent 4.
Oh, yeah. Were they talking about starting a viral campaign to.
Yeah. Threaten the head of the studio.
Threaten
the children of the head of the studio.
I mean, but the thing is, now we know maybe these media executives do need to be threatened with bodily harm to do the right thing.
Tom's words, not mine.
Like, restore, not the kids. Leave the kids alone, of course. But I don't know. What harm would a pie in the face and during a big public event do?
Tom, you ever think about how that Leave Britney Alone guy, he was right.
Yeah. That's it? That's what you want to know if I ever think about? It's nothing to do with this.
Yeah, you said leave the kids alone. Britney was but a child.
She wasn't, but she still should have been left alone.
Yeah. Leave her alone, Tom.
Yeah. Britney's my age.
I know, but regardless, I wish you would stop objectifying her.
I'm not, Tim. I don't.
Okay.
YA books. Young adult books.
Young adult books. Tom, do you have a working definition of a young adult book?
I don't really. It's, I guess, it's like a very fuzzy genre, I feel like.
Yeah, like what makes something... young adult, like a novel, right? We're talking novels here.
Novels, yeah.
What makes a novel young adult? Well, I can't just be like, yeah, it's just for everyone.
Yeah. I think as a general rule, anything with a protagonist who's a young adult is just automatically assumed to be a young adult novel.
But is that true?
I mean, I'm sure there are exceptions, but like I can't
like
think
is
of...
Catcher in the Rye, Catcher in the Rye, famous. Yeah. Is that a young adult novel?
Well, I'll tell you, Tim. We're looking at some of the Time Magazine top 100 books, but
best YA books of all time.
Yeah, and
of
I just.
All... time. Oh, they always get their brand again, don't they?
It always comes around the time. Well. I went through the list and I believe there are 10 books out of these 100 that I've read, and yeah, there are definitely my point being Catcher in the Rye on that list.
Right.
Which, you know, that's what I'm saying, I guess makes sense that it's, if there's a young adult protagonist, it's considered young adult. I can't think of a book that has a young adult protagonist that people don't consider a young adult book.
What about Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close?
Yeah, I guess maybe not. But that's like a kid, right?
Yeah. What do we what if we define it like a teen?
Yeah, like a teen is more what I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, I'll rack my brain, but I'm not very well read.
But
this might surprise you.
But I also feel like young adult, beyond that, it if it's a book you read in school, then it's also considered young adult nowadays, even though often you're reading it in school just because it's an example of classic literature. It's,
right.
It's one of the best examples, and it's...
Romeo and Juliet, is that a young adult production?
Yeah, I mean, I would consider that young adult. Okay. And of course, like, the audience is aimed... The audience for the book is young adults.
Pervert adults.
Not pervert adults. Young adults, however... Most young adult books, the vast majority of young adult readers are regular adults.
Is that true?
I don't know if it's vast majority, but it is, at least in my case, it's definitely the majority. I have more adults reading my books than young adults.
Now, when somebody buys but your book, more... you get like a full demographic profile, social security number, no. address.
No, actually, I don't get any information. I'm basing this on like emails that I've gotten from people.
Well, kids don't know how to use email.
Kids know how to use email.
Gen Z doesn't. They're like, I'll kill myself before I write an email.
DMs, snaps,
Tom,
TikToks.
Do not be DMing with young adults, please.
I if somebody likes the books and they DM me, I'll say thank you. But yeah, I won't be like, what's going on with
this climate,
you?
Tom, I think you should just ignore it. Just delete your account.
Be nice without being a creep, Tim.
I tell you something? Uh-huh.
What?
This is when Twitter died in my mind. When
you stop being able to DM teens?
No, when people started saying, delete your account, and then being like, mic drop. You know what I mean? Like, somebody would say something like, I think we should, like, kill, like, put a whole, like, group of people in a bonfire because I disagree with their views or something. And somebody would be like, delete your account. And then they'd be like, I won that argument. It's like... Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right to rip, but those aren't equivalent. Just be like, I don't know.
I'm glad you got that off your chest, Tim. I'm glad you pointed out the one cringe thing that's ever been said on Twitter.
Delete your account. And then everybody responds with the people on their side, with a clap emoji.
Yeah, with claps, Or maybe like a gif. Of Leonardo DiCaprio raising his glass from The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I consider a young adult novel to be aimed. The target audience is young adults.
Does that mean?
But like I said, I'm mostly adults, but I have more teenagers than I would if I weren't writing young
more
adults.
More teenagers than you would like.
No, hey, Tim, I love all my readers.
Yeah. And that's what gets you in trouble.
That would be my definite. I feel like there's not a firm definition of young.
So, like, it's not necessary. So, it's not enough to just be teens. Young adults are the target audience, and this is about two old folks growing old together. Goddamn team's ever going to want to read that?
Right. I think that basically is what that's.
They're
why,
self-absorbed, these teens, right?
Well, who isn't nowadays?
Yeah, but they're just like, I don't want to hear about anybody who's not like me.
Yeah. I mean, that was true of me when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Not necessarily exactly like me, but I was more interested in the stories of fellow teens rather than... like two dumb old fucks like us.
Yeah. I'd like two dumb young fucks like the Hardy Boys. Yeah.
But Tim, like if I came to you and I was like, look, I wrapped up the last series, but get this. I got a new series coming out. It's a young adult novel. It focuses on two men in their early 40s. I think it's going to be a huge hit. You'd be like, I don't, you know.
But are they doing a podcast?
They're doing a podcast. It's two guys in their 40s doing a podcast. And I think
one of them happens to be named Jim.
Yeah. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tim, as I mentioned earlier.
Oh, do we need to do a retake?
It's fine. We'll roll with it. We're looking at the time.com list of the top 100.
Right.
I was looking at the Goodreads top 100 list, but I
Goodreads is a mess. Can I just go on record saying
yes.
I can't make heads or tails of Goodreads anymore.
Me neither. And especially like as an author on there and having an author, like I don't even look at it anymore.
Really?
Because it's just, I don't know, it's, I can't make heads or tails of it. It's also like a notoriously critical community on there.
Right.
Like a lot of people that seem,
on the internet?
Yeah. But like on Goodreads specifically, people like to like really tear books apart on there, it seems.
Yeah. For clout, probably.
Yeah, for clout. I just know that I've heard that from lots of other authors. Like I've yet to meet an author who's like, you know, it's great,
a
you
great
know
supportive community.
Yeah,
where
you
fans
know what, like has
together
led to my success is Goodreads.
Yeah.
So yeah, and there are rumors that Amazon might be looking to get rid of them.
Oh really? Well, they did.
Them.
They've done so much with it.
Yeah. Exactly. So. Yeah, but I looked at that top 100 list and I felt like too many of the books on that list were modern or like very modern, like
right,
new releases. So I was like, we don't know those books. And like I said, I only read 1/10 of the books on this list.
You know what I don't understand about Goodreads, Tom?
What's that?
Sometimes you'll be like, like Tom Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Does it say like Goodreads author next to your name?
Maybe something like that.
Cause that means like the author is on Goodreads and like,
yeah,
maybe he'll respond to you or like he does Q&As or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think you can like follow authors on there and stuff.
Yeah. But like, it'll be like, oh, this is like, they're active on the platform,
mm-hmm,
but then it's like Jane Austen, Goodreads author.
Yeah.
What's going on
there? She's mixing things up. She's doing what Jane Austen always says, stirring the pot, causing controversy.
Now, Goodreads could bridge the gap to the netherworld, the other side. And it's like, yeah, Jane Austen can communicate. Anyone who's published a book can communicate with the physical world.
I mean,
but only through Goodreads. This is the only connection that we have.
Yeah, they're the one website that has a tiny little wire connected to it, going to the afterlife. Into heaven. It's all the way up there. God forbid.
And to hell, because like most authors.
Most authors are in hell?
Yeah. You ever read a book, Tom?
Tim, I've read, I want to say.
At least 10.
Dozens of books.
Yeah, all these authors, Tom, I hate to tell you because you're an author yourself.
Mm-hmm, but they're all going to hell?
Yeah.
For lying, for making up lies?
Exactly.
All right. I'm starting at the top of books, and I know you've read a lot of these because I read some of them in school with you, although we were never in an English class together.
No.
And
we were barely in the hallways together.
It's true. And some in, I think we had a gym class together once or twice.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Both of us couple of real gym class heroes.
I have a very, very clear image of what your body looked like as a teenager.
Cool.
No, but I do feel like we had a gym class at least once.
Maybe.
But no other.
I don't
real
have
classes.
Very many recollections of gym class. I don't know. Like I certainly didn't participate.
Yeah, of course. We all remember the time you got hit so hard in the head.
I got pantsed pretty bad one time in gym class.
I know. That's where my recollection of
that's what I was thinking. Like does that Tom, yeah you were in that class
yeah because your underwear got too
yeah
right? Oh wow,
a ruthless young lady did it to me.
Oh wow, Tim, that, nowadays young lady would be canceled for disrobing a man against his will in front of dozens of children.
Just society.
Well, you weren't a man, I guess you were a boy. Yeah, even worse.
Yeah, she'd be in jail.
She was 35.
Yeah, I don't know how she got in there.
It was one of those situations where an adult's pretending to be a teen to help out the local vice.
Always a documentary about it, yeah.
So anyway, these are some books we read. Little Women.
The Littlest.
We read this. I read it in school. We also read it on Books of Podcast. Yeah. And hey, we all saw the movie.
Starring Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
And Hermione, right? She was in the
movie. Yeah, she was in it, huh?
And Bob Odenkirk.
Right.
That's the top billed three actors.
Those were the top three billed actors, yeah.
Those were the titular Little Women.
Yep, it was an unusual casting choice to have Bob Odenkirk as one of the Little Women.
I mean, it was an unusual casting choice to have Bob Odenkirk as the dad.
Yeah, but it was great. He did a great job.
Yeah. But
remember
like,
how much everybody cheered when he came back when you thought he might be dead?
Yeah, but
oh, sorry for the spoilers for Little Women.
Do you remember how everybody went like, Bob Odenkirk when he came on the screen?
Yeah.
Tom, by Louisa May Alcott.
Yeah.
Good book.
Yeah, very good book.
Good book.
Yeah, when we reread it for Books of Podcast, I think I read it, right?
You read it.
Yeah, I remember.
I don't know if I actually ever read it, but like between you explaining it to me and like I was certainly supposed to read it in
the
high
cliff
school.
Notes in high school.
Yeah.
That's what like I definitely read it in high school, but I'm sure I skim parts of it and whatever, but rereading it as an adult, I was like, oh, I can see why this is a classic. It's a very good book.
Well, that's, I think.
And kind of timeless.
Right. And like, so is that a young adult book? If like, if you gave it to the majority of young adults, they'd be like, yeah, I'm going to like skim this at best.
I mean, I think only because it's old, so there are some things you can't relate to, but I think there are a lot of things in that book that teens today could still relate to, as long as they can get past the like old-fashioned prose.
Right.
Maybe you should write a new version in Gen Z slang.
I would love to.
You can talk about them rizzing each other up.
Rizzing?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't understand any of this.
Well, that's because you don't have any rizz, Tim.
What's rizz?
Oh, boy. Wouldn't you like to know?
God damn it. I'll never
learn. You know what it is, Tim? It's short for charisma.
Oh.
Yeah. And like charming somebody.
I don't like any of this.
Rizzing them up.
Look, I don't have to like it. I shouldn't like it.
Right. But you're going to start using it but in your daily conversation. But I also feel
like other people my age are like learning this slang.
Right.
Whereas like in generations past, we'd be like, let the young people do the young people stuff.
No,
people, and like I'm not going to worry about this. And now everybody's got to listen to Olivia Rodrigo.
Tim, you told me you listened to the new Olivia Rodrigo and you liked it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, so
the music's good, Tom.
Yeah,
but I don't care for what she's saying.
You hate yourself for listening to it and liking it, though.
Yeah, she's got a lot of riz, that one.
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I can use the word. I can hang.
I know, Tim. But I don't think it's a new phenomenon that a generation thinks the generation younger than them has stupid slang.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that our generation is embracing that stupid slang.
Yes.
Where it should be like, let the kids do the kid stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not try to participate.
Right.
It's cringe when we try to participate, right, from what I understand.
Let me use some of the slang in like a work meeting.
Yeah.
To let everybody know I'm still hip and cool. I still got it.
Yeah. The riz.
The riz.
Is what you got still.
Yeah. But again, I think it's more specific to like trying to charm like a potential sexual partner.
Oh.
Not always, but a little bit.
I don't trust that you understand any of it. Tom, the most plugged in guy I know to youth culture is gonna tell me how
to.
Do you think there
were any like in the mid-90s like radio show hosts that were having a conversation like, what is it with all these kids nowadays saying something they don't believe and then ending it with not?
That confused me, though, as a kid at first.
What do you mean it confused you? It made perfect sense. It just meant I didn't mean what I just said.
I know. I saw it for the first time in a Nickelodeon commercial.
Okay.
And the Nickelodeon commercial was like, this Thanksgiving, at Thanksgiving dinner, be sure to eat all of your Brussels sprouts and be very polite and rub your grandma's feet. Not. And like not having heard that before, I was just like, wait, what? Because that doesn't mean like as you're
wait,
saying
what
not.
What the hell is going on? What should I
saying,
do?
I'm only kidding. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so it took me a minute to put the contextual clues together.
You eventually got it, and then that was all you were saying.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's...
I wasn't really saying that. Not.
Exactly. The next book, Tim, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn.
Yeah, more like A Child Grows in Brooklyn.
Yeah, the child.
According
was
to our high
the...
school...
Yes, our high school English teacher. We had the same high school English teacher at different times.
Yeah, we had the same shtick.
His
stance on A Tree Grows in Brooklyn never changed. His brother-in-law was an airline pilot.
His stance was mostly that he grew up in Canarsie.
Yeah.
And this book takes place in Canarsie, and it's basically, he could have written it. Like it's his story.
Yeah, it's like,
story.
And you didn't, and now you're,
teaching idiots.
You're teaching a bunch of idiots who don't care.
We weren't going to remember anything from this book except that, I just remember this teacher, like, I remember this being a good book, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I remember liking it. And I remember him constantly telling us that it was just like him. And then one day he told this story. He was laughing so hard he could barely even get through the story about how one time his friend pretended like he was going to push him off the pier but didn't do it. But he was like... I thought he was going to puke. He was laughing so hard.
That's a sad life. Sad life poorly lived.
I've read The Diary of Anne Frank. Not much funny to say about that.
No. That's one of those books that's like, yeah, I'm sure I've read it. I don't think I have.
Yeah. I think I read it twice throughout school, and probably like the first time I didn't really read it, I skimmed it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do remember reading it. And again, that's another book where, it's very relatable to a teenager, I think, even
Not to us with all the Holocaust stuff, Tom.
No, but like some of her like concerns.
Like it was like when Justin Bieber went to the Anne Frank house and signed the guest book.
Yeah, that she would have been a Belieber.
And like everybody was like, oh, I made it about him. But like, and then her estate came out and was like, no, yeah, she would have been. Because she, like, the whole point of this is that she was like,
A regular teen
that like lived through extraordinary and horrific times and experiences, and like, so yeah, in a perfect world, yeah,
it should be believable and like
believable.
Teens should be able to read this now and think this could happen again.
Yeah,
I
relate to her, except for all of the things that had like this bad stuff is not happening to me, but all the other ways.
Right, you saw that she was just a regular teen girl who never intended for this diary to be public. I assume, right?
Yeah, I don't think
like, so. Wasn't writing it to an audience. Certainly could have never known how influential and big of a book it would become. But I feel like that's one of the, like...
They should publish more little girls' diaries. Just, like, non-notable little girls. Like,
yeah, just a regular, nothing bad happens to a little girl. Just so you can compare and contrast.
Yeah. You're like, well, you're not as good as Anne Frank.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Your writing is pedestrian.
You're
nothing of note happened to you.
12 years old, you go to the Scholastic Book Fair, you find out they're publishing your diary.
Yeah, so I hope...
And this is how I find out?
I hope, you know, Jack doesn't read it and hear how obsessed I am with Jack. And then cracking it open.
Ruin my social standing. But yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that's one of the, like... serious, important books you read as a teenager that maybe just because it's nonfiction.
Hopefully makes you a little less of a piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I don't think I've ever read it. So.
And helps you contextualize things like World War II in a more relatable way. The next book, Catcher in the Rye, the old favorite.
James Dean Salinger.
The old favorite.
Jimmy Dean.
The old favorite of, what was the guy's name? John Mark Carr? John John Quincy Adams? Who's the guy that shot Lennon?
I'm not thinking of it. Is John Mark Carr the guy that claimed he killed JonBenet Ramsey?
Yeah, yeah.
Now that you said his name, I'll never think of the guy who shot John Lennon.
It wasn't Hinckley. He shot Reagan.
Yeah. John Lennon assassin. Why don't we just go assassin?
Yeah.
Mark David Chapman. Oh, my God.
David Chapman.
John Mark Carr.
I guess John Quincy Adams. My next guess was Mark Paul Gosselaar. I knew it was three names.
Something's going to come out about that guy, but I don't think it's that he killed John Lennon.
Famously, the book he had on hand. Tim, I was in I was telling you a little bit. I was in a used bookstore this weekend, and the shop owner wouldn't shut up. He was making it real clear what the difference between a bookstore and a library is.
Oh, jeez.
So, but he was.
Dude, somebody's going to be like. Oh yeah, no. I'm gonna read this whole 300-page novel in your story in the next 4 minutes.
Wait, where are you? Oh no! I was just saying he was being loud instead of quiet.
Oh, I see.
Not that he was kicking people out for reading. Anyway,
you can see how I would.
Yes, I should have been. Should have been more clear. But there is like this weird, we were staying at a house on the beach. It was lovely. And like when you're staying with a group of people, it's like, just put the TV on, you know, just put random things on or whatever. Just kind of like background noise. But one of the things that was on the TV a lot during one day was Impractical Jokers,
mm-hmm.
which led me to find the Impractical Jokers bit where they tried to get old Tom, and old Tom didn't fall for it, and also refused to sign a release.
So you got a blurry face, Tom.
No, I'm not even in it. Blurry face.
Oh.
Yeah, which I was disappointed in. But
should have signed the release.
But anyway, I was, I had Impractical Jokers on the mind. I thought that was what was happening in this bookstore. Because this, like, middle-aged, not even middle, I feel like older than middle-aged, elderly, not elderly, but, like, I guess not as old as our parents, but
in mid-60s?
In between our age and our parents' age.
Okay.
And she was like, she went up to the shop owner and she's like, why is there so much controversy about Catcher in the Rye?
Okay. Like,
how do you have an interest in this, but you don't know, like, why?
It's not something that you've looked into in the last...
Yeah. And you're like, I have to ask a bookstore owner 50 sometime. 50
years, yeah.
I feel like he gave a... He actually did give, a good explanation of, like, yeah, a lot of people who have done bad things have either been, had this book with them or, like, quoted it in their diaries. And, like, most people read this book and they're like, yep, that's what being a teenager is like. And then some people read this book and they're like, somebody should do something. Like, identify too much with Holden Caulfield and don't realize, like, yeah, but in the end, he doesn't do anything. There's just teen angst, and most people grow out of it.
He doesn't assassinate even one guy.
No, not even. Lord of the Flies?
Is that why? Yeah, that's YA.
Yeah.
That's the first, I think, indisputable is YA.
Yeah?
Mostly because it's like kind of like the Hunger Games. Bunch of kids running around in the forest trying around. To kill it.
We read that on Books the Podcast, and I think we both read it in school.
This episode just full of plugs. Buy my book. Subscribe to our Patreon.
Go to our high school. You can read all these books.
Yeah, take Mr. Giordano's English class.
Hear stories about Canarsie. But I do remember Lord of the Flies being like a rare classic that we had to read in school that everybody read and liked.
Yeah.
That, like, even 50 years removed, kids were still into.
Yeah. I remember being a little let down. I was like, this is a little bit more boring than I was expecting.
Yeah, but then they start killing each other and stuff, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, and
cool.
There's a pig's head.
Yeah.
And then the pig's head talks to who? Simon or something?
Yeah, I think so.
And it's like, wait, what's happening here? Did this really happen? And that's when that was my first inclination to understand that books can be weird.
Yeah, books can be weird.
Yeah.
And they can, like, seem normal for a while and then do something weird. It's like, you ever hear about there are people that didn't realize that Game of Thrones wasn't based on real life.
I think we talked about that last week on this very show, Tom.
It's something I've been thinking about since then. To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, by Harper Lee. I read this in high school when we were supposed to.
Yes.
Freaking loved it.
I remember this also being like a pretty popular class read that everybody was like into it.
Yeah.
And liked the characters, liked Atticus, liked Scout.
What I mean,
like Boo Radley.
I never got the full clear answer on what happened with Ghost at a Watchman. Like people were like, it was a sequel. No, actually it was the first draft that she was convinced to completely rewrite. And it's like, that was the first draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's not close enough to stuff makes sense.
Yeah.
That this is the first draft. And it's like, they stole it from an old lady who didn't know anything.
Yeah, didn't
and
know
I was
what
like,
she
maybe
was
I shouldn't
over.
Read it. And then I just didn't read it.
I feel like it just kind of like came and went that people were like, yeah, this is kind of like a rough sketch of a story. I mean, I imagine that kind of makes sense that she wrote this first, Go Tell a Watchman, and then, wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, took some elements that she liked from that and used them for this book. And that's why people are like, Go Tell a Watchman was like a more sprawling story, and she decided to like focus. It's impossible to know.
Yeah. For any, for me, it's kind of like the 2018 reboot of Murphy Brown, where it's like, I'm sure the publisher was like, oh, everybody's going to be all over this thing.
We're going to be getting that Murphy Brown money again.
Yeah, and then it was just kind of like, people are like, I don't really know what this is. I don't think this is like, I don't know, you guys didn't think this through. Like, appreciate you trying, respect everybody involved.
Not really if it involved, tricking an old woman.
Yeah, that's true. I'll never say that about Candace Bergen, Tom.
She had no idea that was a set.
she thought she was Murphy Brown.
Yeah, they kept it going 24 hours a day. She thought she had like woken up in a, you know, an alternate reality.
Was Frank Fontana on the?
I don't think like anyone was in it except Murphy Brown.
Huh.
Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
Have not read the book. I think our school was too square.
Yeah. Yeah, I have this on my list, even though I didn't read it, like I said I did, all these books. But we read a lot of Judy Blume. We read all the, like, fudge books, I remember. At least
Super
I did.
Fudge.
Yeah, in grade school.
Right.
But yeah, we never read Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
You know what there should be? Some
what?
Beverly Cleary books on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for smaller kids, I guess, right?
What did she write?
Ramona the Pest, Beezus and Ramona, Henry Huggins, all those guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a little bit younger. I feel like Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret is it's aimed a little older than like the fudge books were and all that stuff. The Giver.
I pretended to read it for summer reading to get credit.
Uh-huh.
I did not read this book.
You read it for Books the Podcast.
No, not The
or
Giver.
Or I did then. One of us did.
No, we didn't read The Giver.
We read The Giver.
No.
Then we read it on this show.
We read The Giving Tree.
No, we read The Giver.
Shel Silverstein.
We read The Gipper.
I don't think so.
We did.
What's it about?
This guy likes giving stuff.
Yeah, I don't think.
No, it's like everything's in black and white. And I'm thinking of the movie, but I think also in real life, everything is in black and white because everybody had to take pills that just kind of like sedated them. And then like one guy didn't want to take the pills and he stopped taking the pills and he started seeing colors and stuff.
I don't recall this at all.
Holes. You read Holes for Books
Podcast.
Yeah,
Lewis Sacker.
Yeah, that's like a new classic.
Yeah, I liked it.
I mean, new. It's, I don't know, 30 years
old.
Yeah,
everybody listening to this is like, I watched that movie when I was four.
My grandfather read that book. And then the last one that I have from this list is The Hunger Games, which has... made it onto the top 100, which I don't think is unearned.
The Hunger Games on the top 100 YA books?
Yeah.
100% that is earned. That should be top 10.
Maybe it is. It's in my top 10. But I was going to say that I feel like that...
It's a phenomenon.
That series ended in a whimper.
Sure. Yeah. You're thinking of the movies now.
No, I'm thinking of the books too. I remember like the second one being very good and then the third one not really liking it all that
much. I read the first one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, I remember the third one. I liked it.
Yeah. They ended it after three, but now there's a prequel.
Now there's a prequel.
The same thing.
Yeah. And same thing. Like she went and wrote something else, I think, that didn't do well. So she wrote a prequel.
She got addicted to caviar. She's like, oh, I got to keep up my expensive caviar habit.
You know what? It gets the best of a lot of people. But, it makes a lot of sense, especially like somebody like that, where they're at the point, I'm sure they're getting offers from their publisher to write essentially a fourth Hunger Games book that even if they're like, I don't have that great of an idea. Probably being offered an amount of money that you'd have to be stupid to turn down.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
At a certain point. I was going to say one person I feel like that was more guilt, kind of did something different, but also went back to the well too many times, was what's her name? Stephanie Meyer that wrote the Twilight books.
Oh, she did other things?
She wrote a book that is, I think, all the books or maybe just the first couple from the Vampire Boys perspective.
The Vampire Boy? Oh, this is within the Twilight
Edward
universe.
Edward Cullen, yeah.
Okay. She didn't do, but she didn't like leave that space and be like, okay, now I'm going to do like a 1920, like a Newsies thing. And then...
I think she did. I think she wrote another...
A Newsies thing?
No, she wrote a book about like an alien girl or a girl that falls in love with an alien.
Ah.
And
it seems kind of... I see where you're going with
that.
He was
like a little warmed over, yeah. but also it's like aliens aren't sexy. Like vampires are sexy. Lady,
it depends on the alien.
I would think you should know that better than anybody. Writing all these sexy vampires.
Yeah. Maybe she just thinks a lot of things are sexy.
So then she wrote this book that I remember reading a thing about it, and they were like, this book's really weird because a lot of the scenes in the book are the same scenes from like the earlier books. And apparently she like, I think kind of went crazy writing this book. Like it took like a lot to, which it seems like double dipping.
She's on drugs.
No. It seems like double dipping. It seems like, you know, going back to the well for like an easy payday. But it sounds like to actually write a story, the same story, but from a different person's point of view and make that interesting is very difficult.
Lion King 1.5, my man.
No, is that what happened in Lion King 1.5?
Yeah, I haven't seen that or The Lion King, but I do know that fact.
Okay, well, maybe she should have.
The events of The Lion King as seen from Timon and Pumbaa.
Ah.
I think it's kind of like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern situation.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com.
You can find all our social media links there.
Yeah.
And
like, go participate in the Reddit. Go participate in the Discord. The Discord community is thriving.
Yes.
And we're not like those other goddamn podcasts where it's like, oh, you have to join the Patreon to do the
Discord.
Nah, you can just go in there.
There's a Patreon only.
There's a Patreon only, which is better than the rest of it. And you should all check that out. And you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/completeguide.
Yes. And you can follow me on social media at Tom Reynolds.
And I'm at your pal, Tim.
I'm
just going to tell you about the Patreon.
Yes.
We have a podcast called Books the Podcast, where we actually talk about books. Not just,
Wow.
Yeah. Right now this week we're wrapping up the book Sapiens,
mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have some trenchant criticism in there.
Ooh.
of the book, right?
Yeah.
It's loose. It's a loose hour a week,
but it's tight,
but it's also tight when you think about it.
patreon.com/completeguide. And like I said, I got a new book out and the old book, or the first book, the first old book, 99 cents for this week.
Meta.
Yeah.
Is the first book.
Yeah. And guess what, Tim?
The new book.
Oh, Infinity's End.
Infinity's End.
Yeah. And then there are four.
I didn't
want to
accidentally get it wrong.
Yeah.
And then like.
You have to redo the whole episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Tim, did you know this? That first book coming up on its 10th anniversary. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
That book's a couple years older than me. What was it like? What was the world like when Meta came out? Because I don't know. I wasn't alive.
I mean, 10 years ago wasn't that much different than now.
Tom. 2013 wasn't different than 2023.
I mean, in some ways, yes.
Haven't you seen the memes where it's like it'll be a headline like, you know, that features like Donald Trump and stuff, and you'd be like, if you told this to yourself, a mere 5 years ago, you'd be like, what's going on?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, but I mean, like, the whole time that was happening, I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, so, true.
So I understand how my older self would have reacted. Yes, there are some differences, and there are some, and then some things never change.
Hey, Christy Brinkley, always going to be a babe.
That's the first thing that comes. All right, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.